It's time for The Citizen Lobbyist, a discussion of local, borough, and state politics featuring Terry Snyder and Mike Malefsky.
Good morning. Mike Malefsky here at Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. Who's on the line?
Good morning, Mike.
Citizen Lobbyist, thank you for calling in again today. We're looking back at Tuesday. This Tuesday, there was a borough assembly meeting, and it was relatively short, less than 2 hours, but I found nuggets there when I became intrigued by a couple of things happening, certainly. And you had a chance to review it, too, as I understand.
Yeah, they started their day early, though. They did have a special meeting starting at 3:30, regarded the much talked about, much admired septic wastewater system. Honestly, I listened to about 30, 40 minutes of it. We'll finish it up this week and see if there's anything to report on that. It sounded like pretty much the same thing. I think Mike Brown really keeps trying to push this up the hill. He sees some potential now out there with infrastructure money, and he's letting the assembly decide whether they want to go forward on it. So we'll see what that had to deliver.
I keep thinking that, having watched this, as you have and many others have for years, that at some point it'll become a problem, at which point people will say, oh, we need to do this. But rather than, as the studies have shown, you can take care of this, there are a variety of ways you can do it, you can get ahead of it, and in fact encourage proper development and lessen the problems that can exist for people. It tends to be pushed down as other things creep into the forefront.
Well, and let's not forget that they've spent about $1 million studying this problem, admiring it now, I'm saying, because they have a lot of data on it. And, it's two things. I think they're trying to redesign the current sort of poorly laid out system that they have there, and trying to simplify that a little bit, how they bring trucks in and out. And then they just have the septic people, you know, really on edge about the cost of transporting what we have for septic waste here into Anchorage. And the cost of that, of course, we know is going up because of the cost of fuel. So there's a lot of moving pieces on this, but boy, it seems like they've studied, and it's time to really make some decisions about doing it. But I think Mr. Brown is trying to find some avenues, some off-ramps with him with this new infrastructure thing, whether or not they qualify or not. But, you know, he needs their okay to pursue that. So, again, I'll finish listening to that, and we'll see if there's any new or nothing on the horizon to report back.
Well, thank you for doing that. It's something that can escape easily, but there are people that are interested, some more than others. Yeah, we'll look forward to hearing more. Well, back
a sexy topic.
Yeah, let's go. And so back to the regular borough assembly meeting. Pretty much everybody was there except Mr. Bernier, who was on the phone somewhere.
Like he normally is. He rarely is in the room.
Right. And the connection sometimes to people who are on the phone can be wonderful, and people can understand what you're saying. And other times, in his case, there was some background noise as if he was flying in an aircraft or something. But it was, he did vote. He did respond. He didn't have much to say because I think he probably understood that it was difficult to be heard.
Yeah, for folks that are listening, he represents the Willow area, previously seat held by Tambovie. Up in that Talkeetna Willow area.
Right. Stephanie Nowers was in the building a little bit late for the initial right at the beginning, but she was there for the far majority of the meeting. And it was kind of an interesting thing. Where do you want to begin?
Well, I want to begin maybe where you don't think I do, but you know, the vacuum that's being created by no reports from the cities.
Oh, yes.
This is sort of puzzling to me. The city of Wasilla and the mayor of Wasilla was so diligent for months during the previous administration when Mayor Halter was there.
Right.
Almost every time showing up for some little tidbit, if it was just to announce what was going on at the Menard center, and I'm hoping she's well and there's not a problem, but I don't think I have seen her at the assembly, and I myself was sort of on the bench for a while, but not doing her reports for at least months that I've been listening.
And her predecessor, as mayor, had established that he was there. Mm-hmm. He was just a regular.
And he did.
I found it interesting, but you're right.
Yeah.
Palmer representation has been hit and miss. Yeah.
Oh, more than miss. I mean, really, in the 12 years that I've lived here, I bet I could count on both my hands the times that a mayor or representative from the city of Palmer has been there, unless there's an issue specifically addressing them to give a report. And this is, to me, a little problem, too. Now, you know, I know they all kind of fly in the same circles, and they probably see each other, and that Mr. Moosey has his mayor meeting with the other mayors monthly, I think.
Manager and mayors, right.
Interchange. Right. But the rest of the assembly, it just seems to me there's really a lack of any interaction on those bodies. So, you know, here's my plea again. And, you know, it's a block away. Walk over, have someone from your administration walk over, just give a little Palmer update on things that are going on. And I think, you know, that's part of furthering the communication between the governing bodies. So,
the good part, though, was that there was a report. This was from the manager about a meeting with the school district. I thought that was he, of course, does a great job of reporting, Mr. Brown, and he did. And that's something also that has occasionally slipped. Because there's a standard committee that meets, that's the school board assembly meeting, that back in the day was a very useful place to ensure that communication was happening, and you'd have a report to both bodies from the meetings that occurred monthly.
Well, back in the day, they met monthly.
Yes.
And now they've cut those back to, I think, quarterly. So
right.
There's not as many of those meetings to begin with. And you know, there are a couple of strong advocates for education on the assembly. But, yeah, it has a bit. But he did give a good report. Prior to that, we should also say that Mr. Smolden from the state was there to report on the governor, what the governor was up to, which kind of hard to find out sometimes, too. But he's been signing some bills. He talked about the vetoes that happened. One veto that happened was on the long trail that was kind of a priority of the assembly, but he sort of justified that by talking about the other monies that came into the borough, bond debt replacement and that sort of thing. He did acknowledge the fact that the PFD was going to be huge this year, but was not the statutory PFD, so apparently someone's been in his ear about that.
You know, I watched that, listened carefully, and I'm not sure. I think what I heard him say was, you're getting a lot of other money, so this being cut shouldn't bother you much because. Mm-hmm. But I did not hear a very detailed explanation of why this one was chosen to be cut.
I don't know.
Why it was cut, other than, well, you're getting other money, so we decided have to do some cuts. It was never really explained.
Yeah, and, you know, those items come from the legislature. So they've gone through a vetting process, and it's the majority of the legislature which says, yes, this is what should be in the budget. And then, of course, the governor has the option to line-item veto those area things out. So hard to say. He doesn't show up to speak for himself. And
Mr.
Smolden wasn't very specific, nor did he get really questioned about it. There were no questions about it. So just didn't want to skip over that part.
Gotcha. Okay, good.
And to back up a little bit to the manager's report on the schools, yeah, they are going to have a big open house out at Houston School to talk about their what they're doing or what progress they've made, not being able to go into the building yet, but they're opening the doors to let people know, I think September 13th maybe.
Right.
Or no, I'm sorry, earlier than that, they're going to have a site visit and let folks come in. And they are also going to have a joint meeting that they've worked on a draft agenda with the school district on the 13th. So you will get a little update on where things are after there, I suspect.
So then there wasn't a report. The attorney, Nick, wasn't there. He was somewhere else. So one of other borough attorneys was there.
He's on vacation.
There. Yeah.
He's on vacation.
Yeah. Do you know where?
He's in Greece.
They would not say that there. They said, we're not going to tell you where because then you all feel bad or something. Yes.
Well, they've teased him. They've teased him a lot about going. This is something he does. He's from there, or his family is from there, so not something he doesn't. He doesn't take a lot of time off.
No, no, he's there. He's there regularly.
Nick is very diligent in being there, so bravo that he's getting a little time off. But there were no questions for the attorneys that were there.
Right.
The clerk did have a little report talking about the candidate filing that is coming up for a lot of borough seats, two assembly seats and five district seats, I think, or school district seats. And that filing period is from August 17th through August 22nd. The applications will be online and have to be turned in on August 22nd.
Right.
And she also talked about she'd had an ongoing questions about the election process and the system they use. Of course, that's the popular, the much talked about Dominion machines, and that she had addressed the questions that had come to her office. She'd not only emailed all that information to the assembly members, but knowing assembly members well, had actually printed those questions and answers out and put it in their red folder. So she is staying on top of all of this controversy over the Dominion machines. That was pretty clear.
And I'd like to step out of the chronology for a moment and say that coming up during the audience participation, there were some people who spoke, made what I would term allegations about the Dominion machines. And during her comments at the end of the meeting, the clerk did say that a number of those things that were said were not true in terms of what was in the software and what were purchased parts of the Dominion operation. And I think the reason why I want to make that happen is because that we draw attention to it is that when someone speaks at audience participation, what they say may or may not have any basis in fact. Sometimes it is. Very often there are opinions given, but when stated as if they are facts and they're repeated, they gradually become, isn't that true? But so this discussion, I suspect, about the Dominion voting machines, there was a promise made by some of the people who spoke that on the 17th they were going to propose a way of doing the election without Dominion machines. And I suspect at some point there would be a discussion that would allow for the pro and con and the separation of opinion from fact. So that was to me one of the important things of this particular meeting, the continuing question about Dominion and the continuing response by the clerk, among others, that the Dominion machine, which is used throughout the state, by the borough, by the city of Palmer, have passed muster in many different ways.
Right, yeah. Well, we'll go out of order here because I think it's important too, Mike. Yeah, her comments were, I think she said specifically that it was important that the assembly and the public understand that what was passed out to them by a member of the public, which you just talked about, somebody very frequently at the Palmer City Council meetings as well with this narrative, they don't have what she passed out. The Dominion may have the ability for some of those items, but they're not any that they have purchased.
Right.
And so she has really been on the forefront of this, and this is a good example of when these type of conspiracies, I would label them, my label, come up on not just voting machines, but other things, and that these become a life of their own, that oftentimes they just sit out there because there's not really room for rebuttal. There's I sometimes get a little bit distressed that even during assembly comments, that they're not really challenged often. But this is something the clerk, I think, has done a good job of being respectful but accurate and defending her system that she's worked with for a long time, well educated on, and just, you know, being prepared for it.
Right.
And it does sound like this particular group of people do plan to turn out the 17th, and led by somebody who's frequently there too, and pushing something for a hand account to happen.
Right.
And it'll be interesting to see how the assembly falls down on that, and if they roll over on it, or if they
Have the discussion or separate to get get the reality discussed.
Yeah.
The other.
While we're on audience,
go ahead.
Audience participation, real quick. Let me just put this in. Representative McCabe's wife was there, Lynn McCabe. He's from the Big Lake area. A lot of these people also spoke out against a proposed bond that has been is going to be introduced next time. We'll talk about. But she even indicated that she herself was planning on using her personal resources to go to a fact-finding mission in Missouri with another woman from the Mat-Su Republican Club for a two-day seminar on these machines, and she would be reporting back. So this is a strong group of people that feel strongly in this, and I think we're going to hear a lot more about this as time goes on.
Right. Okay. Well, moving on. Next piece. There were some issues taken with a number of the money-based or time-based extensions to contracts, and I thought, what's the next one that sticks out for you?
Well, it was a little smooth sailing to begin with on a extension of a lease on a gravel pit in the Meadow Lakes area, which oftentimes you have a lot of people talking about this, but this is something that's already established in the Pittman area, and it went by pretty quickly, as did some FEMA monies coming from the McKinley fire. But I think what you were talking about, Mike, maybe the let's see, which one was it?
Well, there were a couple of things. One was go ahead.
Go ahead. You got it.
Well, the string of things, I sort of clumped them together because I found that Mr. Chu and Mrs. McKee were the two that tended to raise questions about an extension. One of them happened to be, for example, the issue of doing research about the port for the repairs being done out there. And I thought the manager did an excellent job of describing, well, you needed to do this in a staged approach where you offered a certain amount of money, they did the analysis, and then they came up with what they have discovered. Then you went to the next stage and then a final stage of being able to actually put out an RFP for any repairs. But what I heard from a couple members of the assembly was, well, why couldn't this be done? Why do we do it this way? Why don't we know up front what it's all going to be? Or in the case of an extension, this involved, for example, work being done for...
Burma Road Underpass.
Right, that underpass issue... had to do with something as simple as, well, the contractor wanted more time to extend that because the initial work being done for seeding for grass in that area was going to take longer, in part due to the weather we've had, which was very dry, et cetera. So eventually, both of these were approved, but not unanimously, interestingly enough, typically 5-2. With Chu and McKee in opposition, but I thought, okay, all of these things were in the packet, and if you read them thoroughly,
my other soapbox.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the particularly that one, because this was the first time we've really gotten to hear from the new public service director, but somebody who is not unfamiliar to the assembly at all, and that's Tom Adams.
Right.
He used to be in the private sector with Lounsbury Associates and did a lot of contracting with the borough. And he sat, more importantly to me, is he sat on the Planning Commission.
Right. Very knowledgeable guy.
Very knowledgeable. You know, particularly with the Burma Crossing, you know, that particular one was the extension was to the benefit of the borough. They extended it because they want to see if the grass grows so that they don't have to go back to the contractor and make them do it again. And they don't want to pay them in full for something that isn't done right. So I think that was important to point out. But back to what you were saying about the packet, the things that McKee and Mr. Tews were bringing up respectfully really could have been solved in a phone call to these departments. They were not huge concerns, which is why they didn't get a lot of support from the other assembly members. And not only is it important, you know, that you read that packet, but the staff is so available. I mean, they do not return a call from the assembly person. And if time is money and you're a true conservative, it seems to me that's a better use of taxpayer money, is to have a phone call with Mr. Adams and simply ask these questions, which seem to be very quickly asked and answers. I mean, I think a healthy supply of skepticism on contracts is okay. I encourage that for them to ask, but if you do your homework about it before you get to the table and then bring up something that's
easily answered, really.
And supported, supported by other assembly members.
Yeah. So we're running out of time. We have a couple of minutes. And the one other item I wanted to bring up had to do with that bond, the proposed bond that's going to be discussed at the next meeting, that presumably, if it passes, the $24 million bond package would be voted upon by the voters. Because that's a piece that is designed to provide monies for school construction. And what I heard from a number of people speaking at audience participation, that they didn't want to do that because they believed that it would tie directly to an increase in their taxes.
Yeah, and these are pretty much the same people that you hear from that don't want to spend any money on school construction, no matter what the bond is. Having small disclosure, I've worked on school bonds, and you have too, Mike. But I really think that this is the same group that just don't want any reason, you know, for the cost of a latte to go up in their tax bills to support the construction of schools. So, not surprising. It'll be interesting to hear the comments from the assembly members Gaunt and Sumner, who put it on
And
did they put it on knowing that it was going to be pushed back, and they just were doing it for optics there, saying they supported it, it'll be interesting. That'll be on the next assembly meeting. I'll be looking forward to hearing what their support is for that.
Yeah, because during comments, there was very little commentary made at the end of this meeting. But we have about a minute left. Last opportunity for you to pick a topic if there's a piece that we have not discussed yet.
Well, I think it's important that people pay attention to that filing time, especially for the school board seats. There are a lot of school board seats up for election. It's been kind of, people have been lackadaisical about local elections, Mike, and I hope that people are taking a hard look, particularly those that have disagreed with the school board. And I won't get into Emily's portion that she reports so well on, but I think people have a chance that to walk their talk. And if they were upset by the banning of books or the transgender sports decision or a handful of things that this school board has done, this is a time to step up and serve your community. So
okay.
That's my last soapbox.
Good. All right. Well, citizen lobbyists, thank you. We once again used all this time. Exciting stuff. It looked at first as a short meeting, and yet there's a lot of stuff there. Yeah.
Got to peel back the onion.
Yep.
So next week, City of Palmer.
Got it. Stay well.
All right. You too, Mike. Be well. Bye.
You've been listening to The Citizen Lobbyist, broadcast on Thursdays at 8 a.m. and repeated at 5 p.m. on Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. You can find the podcast at radiofreepalmer.org. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.